Welcome to Ronnie Phillips Podcast. This message is made possible by the partners of Abba's House Media. Help us continue to share this message around the world about how to live free and fully alive. Visit abbashouse.com/partner to learn more. And before you leave, be sure and subscribe to Pastor Ronnie's YouTube channel. Now, here's Pastor Ronnie Phillips.
Some of you have been relying for far too long on your intellect and what you can figure out and understand. The Lord says, you got to trust me. You got to trust that I know more than you, that I have more for you, and you've got to operate in the faith that you read about. You've got to be willing to let me come in and do a new thing. And the Lord says, if you receive it, he's going to bless you in ways you never could have imagined. But you've got to receive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And we close this series with this verse right here. For yours, his, is the kingdom. Everybody say kingdom. And the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Let's talk about the kingdom for just a moment tonight. I've preached on the kingdom. I've preached on the keys to the kingdom. I know what it is to walk in kingdom and to believe kingdom. You know, that was the message that Jesus preached the most, was a message of the kingdom. You know, we are to walk in a different dimension. We are to speak differently than others. We are to walk as kingdom children of the Most High God. We have entered and received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, it says in Hebrews. And so I want to talk to you about that kingdom language tonight. We couldn't preach a series on prayer or teach a series on prayer without dealing with the wonder principle of prayer, without dealing with the gift of praying in tongues. I believe with all of my heart that God wants to do a new thing in people. The problem is most people equate speaking in tongues with handling snakes. And there's far more in the Bible about speaking in tongues than there is handling snakes. And snakes represented demons in the Bible. So everything about being able to tread on serpents and all that represents demons. But there are many chapters in the Bible about speaking in tongues. And so I have a lot I want to release to you tonight. I'm a Baptist, so I'm going to give you scriptural backing for everything I say, and then we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to do something new in the atmosphere tonight. Here's how this is going to work. As soon as I make my appeal, the live cameras are going to shut off. There'll be no Facebook Live. And then I'm going to release everyone that's not in agreement with what God's doing. And once I release everyone, those that remain, my Father and I are going to pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit tonight. And some of you may already have it, but maybe you need a renewal or a refreshing. That's going to be available for you tonight as well. But let's get into speaking in tongues tonight, the wonder principle. First of all, there is a gift of tongues. I preached a message, Operation Spiritual Gifts, last year. You can possibly get Julie Harding to get you the series of that, where we talked about every single spiritual gift over the course of 16 weeks. But the gift of tongues is one of the 9 manifestational gifts found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is a gift to edify and build up the church, but that's not what we're talking about necessarily tonight. Then there's a prophetic tongue for the church that must be interpreted. How many of you have been in a service where someone released a tongue and there was an interpretation, and then it led to someone getting saved or healed? I have too. It is powerful when the authentic takes place. How many of you have been in a service, though, when Aunt Maud, who speaks in tongues every week, gets up and the same person interprets it? Amen. And it's just another form of religion. How many of you have seen the fake? You see, what we've got to do in the kingdom of God is we've got to quit focusing on fake. Let me set you free for just a minute. There's people that come down and kneel every week in traditional Baptist churches that are faking it. There are people that come down, fall out, speak in tongues, run around the buildings in Pentecostal churches that are faking it. There are people that kneel and take communion at the Catholic church that are faking it. There are people that walk into a Presbyterian church, an Episcopal church, a Church of Christ church, and they fake it. It's not our job to focus on the fake. That's God's job. That's His responsibility. It's not our job to focus on fake. Amen? So quit worrying about not being fake and who's fake and who's not fake, and just try to get to our Father. That's what this is all about. This prayer series is getting in touch with our Father and receiving from our Father what He wants us to receive so that we can be obedient to His Word and have everything that He wants us to have. So there is a prophetic tongue, but tonight as we deal with the wonder principle, the kingdom principle, this kingdom language, I want to talk to you about a prayer language I believe is the language of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 8, says this. It says, love never fails. This whole chapter is mostly about love. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. A lot of people that don't agree with the gift of tongues use this verse in error. When tongues they cease, whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come. Now, I believe the Bible is inerrant and infallible. But when it says the perfect here, that's not the Holy Bible. The Trinity is not the Father, Son, and the Holy Bible. It's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful for the Bible. I'm thankful for the completed canon of Scripture. But the power of the Holy Spirit is when the perfect one, Jesus, returns once and for all for His bride, which is the church that I'm looking at tonight, and those who will be listening around the world on podcasts, the body of Christ is His church, it's His bride, it's His body, and when Jesus, the perfect one, comes back for it, then these things will cease because we won't need to get in His dimension because we will already be there. The Spirit that comes on you comes that it may edify you. So I want us to hang out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14, but mostly 14 tonight, and we'll get back to chapter 14 and 13 in just a moment. But I want to start with verse 2. It says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Let's unpack that just a second. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. If you're praying in tongues to impress people, you've already missed the mark. Because you don't pray in tongues to impress people or to keep up with the pace of someone else and keep up with their dialect or copy their dialect. You pray in a tongue to get in covenant and connect with our Father. We do not speak to men, but to God. So it's to God, not from God. For no one understands Him. However, in the Spirit He speaks mysteries. The Greek there is mysterion, and it means, I love this, a secret to which initiation is necessary. So this kingdom is something you must be initiated into. If ever you join a club or you join any kind of church, or even if you get married and you come into covenant with something, there's an initiation that takes place. There's an initiation to enter into a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It says in verses 14 through 17 that our spirit prays, but our mind is unfruitful. The reason some people don't speak in tongues is because they can't shut their mind off long enough to trust God to say something or to do something. You can't analyze. How many things do you have to beg God for? Did you have to beg God to be saved? Did you have to grind to receive His grace? No. You don't have to beg God for something. He freely gives to us as His children. So if you're begging for something, there's something hindering you, and it could be that you have to analyze everything and figure it out. But the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that when our spirit prays, our mind is unfruitful. That's why when someone says, well, it's just gibberish, yeah, it may sound like gibberish because we are not intended to be able to understand it. The Spirit prays through us. And it says when the perfect comes, tongues will cease, but it also says knowledge will cease. So if people are going to say that in 393 when the Scripture was canonized, that was perfect, then they must, how can they make an intellectual argument if knowledge has ceased? Because not only has tongues ceased, knowledge has to cease. So if through knowledge you're saying tongues doesn't exist, that's a contradiction in and of itself. Because both have to cease. As I said, Jesus is the perfect one. The Apostle Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He also said, after he gives specific instruction in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he warns us about that. We're going to get into that. But he says, after he warns us and he teaches us how to do that, he says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. Do not forbid it. How many of you know of churches or denominations that forbid it? They forbid it when the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, says, do not forbid it. You know, everybody likes to quote Billy Graham, the greatest evangelist of all time. Everyone loves Billy Graham. Billy Graham can do no wrong. Next to Jesus, Billy Graham was and is everything that most pastors want to be, a man of integrity and all of those great things. He gets away with things other preachers don't get away with. I mean, he left $25 million in the bank and had a few planes. Nobody criticized Billy Graham because he's Billy Graham. But Billy Graham said this about praying in tongues. He didn't personally do it, but he said, don't demand it and don't deny it. I want to tell you tonight, I'm not going to fight anyone over this. It's not my fight. I know what my God has done for me. I know what he's done for the people close to me. I've seen God heal and I've seen him move, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's a kingdom dimension and there's a kingdom language. But I work with people and have preached for people and love people that don't believe that and that are scared of it. It's all good. Because one day the perfect one's going to come. And wasting our time debating these things, these are unfruitful. These are stumbling blocks. So I can fellowship with someone who doesn't flow like I flow. I feel sorry for them because I believe on this earth there's a kingdom level and a dimension that's available for them that they're just too scared to climb up to it. And that's why I want to teach this. One, because it's in the Bible and it's a part of prayer. I can't teach a series on prayer without talking about praying in tongues. I'm just not going to do it. In Ephesians chapter 6, talks about putting on the whole armor of God. We prayed the armor on you last week. We've talked about spiritual warfare and defeating the devil, and all of those key elements are important in prayer. But it talks about, you know, the helmet of salvation and the word of God. But then as Paul closes that text, what does he say in Ephesians 6 verse 18? What does he say? Praying always with all prayer, not some prayer. Okay. And supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always. Jude chapter 1 verse 20, I love this. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. See, Paul basically says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, when you're in public, you need to be clear. But when you're in private, you need to be passionate. Now, again, I told you about the motivational gifts. There's a gift, and then there's a prophetic tongue where there's an interpretation. What I'm talking about is when you get alone with God. When you get alone with God, that's why you won't hear me doing a lot, because I believe presenting the gospel and seeing people come into the kingdom is the most important thing we're here to do. So I try to be clear when I preach. I try to be very clear as to what God's called me to do. But I'm telling you, I could not preach with clarity if I hadn't been in my prayer closet praying with the passion of the kingdom in the Spirit. Because I'm telling you, the praying in the Spirit builds you up. It's like if you're on a sports team, you know, you are required to work out. My son has to get up every morning about 6 o'clock. He works out from 6:30 to 8:30. He gets 1 week off all summer. It's 2 hours. Some days it's 3 hours. It's dedication. You build yourself up. And what the Bible teaches us and what Paul teaches us is that when you have a prayer language, when you pray in the Spirit, it builds you up. It builds you up. It gives you strength to take the fight to the enemy. It gives you strength to avoid temptation. I'm going to tell you, when I failed in my life, and I have failed, it's because I haven't prayed enough. We were having staff meeting this week, and a mighty prayer meeting broke out towards the end of it. It was very powerful. And we pray every time we gather, but how many of you know sometimes it's just different? And it was one of those days, it was just different. But Brother Timmons said, in all humility, he said, guys, we just don't pray enough. And it hit me because I knew he was right before he said it, because I was already under conviction. We've got to pray. We've got to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. You know, we've got to believe God, and we'll be able to believe God for the more if we pray in private. We've got to really do business with the Father in private in our secret place, and that will build our faith. It will build our strength. It'll help us walk through this earth if we pray in the Spirit. The wonder principle is about the kingdom and prayer that unlocks the kingdom of God. You know the story of Nicodemus, the Pharisee that's born again with Jesus. Jesus ministers to him late in the evening. This is what it says in John chapter 3, verse 5. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Everybody say Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. I love this. This just sounds good to me. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So Jesus tells this scholar, this Pharisee, that you have to be born again, and they unpack that, and they figure out exactly what that means, and we know what that means. It's the new birth. It means to be saved. But if you translate some of this in the Greek, there's a neat play on words that I want to show you tonight. The word again translate in the Greek to another, which could mean from above. You cannot access the kingdom of God unless you have a from above experience. The spiritual realm opens up to those who have had a second birth by the Holy Spirit. How does Jesus illustrate this? He uses the word wind. The Greek word is normally anemos, but this word is pneuma, and this word is translated spirit. And then the word sound, which means voice or language, is in the Greek. Articulated words. This is what it could be in the Greek. The Spirit blows to whom it wishes, and you hear the language, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So there is a kingdom language that's recognized by the King, and there is a language that comes. Whenever Rome brought its kingdom to take over another land, they'd bring their language with it. Whenever the Holy Ghost takes over an atmosphere, he brings his language with it. God has a language, and you can walk in that, and you can speak in that. Now, let me be transparent with you. I didn't always buy in, and I'm going to tell you before we close the message about when I first spoke in tongues. But, you know, half my life I was raised traditional, and we didn't believe these things, and then our church went through an awakening, and then we walked through these spiritual things, and things happened, and I was very skeptical of it for a while because of what I referred to earlier. I was the fake police. You know, I wanted to tell everybody who was fake and who was not, and I wanted to have fault with someone who did it because I didn't do it, and sometimes there is an element of spiritual snobbery in the kingdom of God. Sometimes people that have it think they're better than others. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people have private prayer languages, but some of the godliest people I know don't speak in tongues. I know that's hard to hear. Some of the godliest people I know do speak in tongues. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. This is a kingdom language that's between you and the King in your prayer life with God. And so no one should forbid you from doing it. No one should discourage it. In fact, we should create an atmosphere where there is freedom, whereas we say here, you can live free and fully alive. In the Old Covenant, we see a picture with Moses of him talking to God and then lightning and thunder happening all around his voice. And people were fearful and they stood afar off in Exodus chapter 20. And then God said to Moses, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. People are still standing far off from the things God wants to do in their life and the language he wants to release in their spirit. And so what I see in the kingdom is it's very much like politics. Is we've got our little label and our denomination doesn't do this or our denomination does do that. And all that is Okay, this Bible is holy. It is God-breathed, every word of it, just not some of it. And you need to get a hold of this Bible, and you need to get a hold of the King, and you need to have a prayer meeting, and you need to just tell God, I want all that you have for me. There's no 10-step process to this. You just ask God to give you everything that He wants you to have, and you pour out your spirit. You make sure you're clean, and you go and you ask God to touch you, and you let go of your tongue, and He will fill you. He will fill you. You say, what if I sound stupid? You probably will. I mean, it's just like when a child tries to learn to talk or you learn a new language. And let me ask you this. How many of you speak more than one language? How many of you speak three languages? Anybody in here speak more than two? Just a few with two, okay? Does God love you more because you speak two, Selena, than He does me because I speak one? He loves us the same, right? You're just gifted to do that. God loves us all, amen? It's not worth fighting over. But God wants to give you good gifts. And God wants to have time of fellowship and communion with you, and He's given you a language that you can speak that'll help you do warfare, know His will, know where to go, know who to connect with, and know what to do in His kingdom. Now, what are the benefits of praying in the Holy Ghost or praying in the Holy Spirit? I want to list four for you tonight. Okay, the first one is joy unspeakable and full of glory. The first benefit we see is that tongues releases joy in the life of a Christian or a believer. The gift of tongues allows our spirit to communicate directly with God's spirit. Here's what the Bible says, if you don't believe me, for he who speaks in a tongue, again, does not speak to men but to God. This is a closeness of fellowship. Many times when tongues are mentioned in the Bible, we find out that individuals that speak in tongues, they also magnify God. How many of you ever hear that when we're in worship? Magnify God, magnify God. You can worship God. We know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, she worshiped God and said, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. It doesn't necessarily mean that she spoke in tongues, but it translates her spirit jumped for joy. Amen? And when God touches you on the inside, it will bring joy into your life. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Listen, your natural man, the old you, your flesh, it has no desire to have what God wants you to have. It doesn't. It doesn't want you saved. It doesn't want you filled with the Spirit. It doesn't want you praying in the Spirit. Doesn't want you believing for someone to be healed. It doesn't want you sowing seed. It doesn't want you standing for truth. It doesn't want you doing warfare. It doesn't want you casting out devils. Your natural man doesn't want anything to do with the Spirit of God. Nothing. So you have to have a new birth on the inside so you're ready to receive the things of God so you can walk in the power that He has for you. God communicates to the Spirit first, then to the mind. And when God touches you and you pray in the Spirit, it gives you joy. How many of you have a problem with anger? Nobody's admitting it. A few of you. A few honest people. Pray in the Spirit and that joy will release. It will help you overcome some of that. What is the next benefit of praying in the Spirit, the wonder principle? Spiritual wisdom and discernment. Discernment is a spiritual gift. We've taught on it. We've preached on it before. Pastor Angie's preached a series on it. But I'm telling you, when you pray in the Spirit, it'll give you discernment. It'll tell you who not to go into business with. It'll tell you who not to marry, who to date, which way to drive to work. Y'all think I'm crazy. It will give you spiritual wisdom and discernment about where to go and who to connect with and who to have fellowship with. It brings to your mind the mysteries of God. It says in the Spirit, He speaks mysteries. We don't sometimes know how to pray. How many of you have ever been so desperate you knew you needed to pray, but you just didn't have the emotional strength to pray? When that happens, that's when this gift is so important because the Spirit prays through you in your weakness. In your desperation, man, the Spirit will pray through you and He'll do supernatural things. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Now, I know I'm using a lot of scripture, but I'm laying foundation. We'll go back and we'll teach each of these principles in a series in the future. But this is what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps. I'm just backing up everything I'm teaching you through the Word of God. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings. My question is, how do millions of people read the Bible without acknowledging this? I'm educated. I'm not the most educated. But to me, it's pretty stinking obvious that this is a part of the New Covenant faith and fellowship. It's all over the New Covenant. Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit can pray for us when we do not know how to pray for certain needs. The Father knows our needs before we ask. A person can be led by the Spirit and receive spiritual wisdom and discernment. Listen, I have met some incredibly ignorant people that are blessed. I mean, people that can't make their subject and verb agree, and they can't even write a sentence. They don't know where to put the comma, but they're millionaires because they pray in the Spirit and they're people of faith and they believe that God is leading them. And they're like Forrest Gump. They just keep falling into stuff. They just keep falling into stuff because they believe in the Spirit of God and they're allowing God to give them wisdom and discernment as to who to connect with, which places to go. I'm telling you, man, we need the Spirit of God to move in such a powerful way here. We can't water down the Word of God to fit the culture. We've got to have the Holy Ghost in this place. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for one understands, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. We talked about the prophetic tongue. Tongues released from stage, not a worship, not if someone's up here worshiping and they magnify the Lord and they have permission to do that. But if someone just comes in here and they're babbling and there's no interpretation, then they need to be rebuked. That's probably a demon. But if someone comes up and God gets on them and then there's an interpretation, every time I've seen that, and I've seen that about 12 times in my life, traveling in different places, conferences, and I think I've seen it here once or twice back in the day. But when I've seen that and it's authentic, it always leads to someone getting right with God. Like almost immediately, like when it's legit, it draws someone into Christ immediately. That's why I'm skeptical if it's the same thing every week and the same people doing it. Because when I've seen it, it always draws in a huge harvest or revival. And that's what we must look for. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray. The word sing can be translated pray there as well, with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I'll also sing with the understanding. Paul addresses all of these needs that has to do with tongues and these concerns. But he also said, do not forbid speaking in tongues. There's a proper way for things to happen in the church. I remember one time my father was preaching. I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, Kelly and I were sitting over here somewhere, and my father was addressing the church about something that was very important, and this guy started babbling on in tongues. I felt immediately, Brother Timmons, it was showy tongues, you know, it was like a demonic tongue, because he was trying to get louder than my father on stage. And you see, the Holy Spirit respects authority and He puts people in authority and He respects order. It'll never be out of order or wacky or weird. So I just rebuked the guy and told him to shut up, and he did, and things got better, okay? And I'm not saying that demons don't traffic around Spirit-filled churches. I can't promise you that you're not going to encounter some goofiness or some demons. But don't act like demons are more powerful than Jesus. Don't act like what the devil has to offer can overwhelm what God wants you to have. The devil's powerless against those of us who are saved and who know the authority that God has given us. But demons do like to traffic around the Holy Spirit and the things that he does. And we have to be aware of that. That's why warfare is so important. We have to be aware of what the enemy's trying to do. He wants to counterfeit or hijack the anointing. And you have to be aware of that sometimes. And it puts the pastor in a very difficult place because sometimes you have to call down things that are out of order. And sometimes things are in order for that person. They're getting right with God. God's really doing something, but it's out of order for the body. And so sometimes we'll say, okay, we're going to excuse you out and we're going to let you have your celebration in another room because it's disrupting the body. It's disrupting what God has planned for the body that day. It just needs to be in order. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. The anointing, the mikshaw, the power, the unction of the Holy Spirit, that which makes you tick, that which makes you keep on fighting, that is the anointing, that is the mikshaw. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So it brings wisdom and discernment. Number three. It brings power. What does the Bible say in Acts 2? You will receive what? Dunamis, explosive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. Power and strength to overcome. Listen, if you're praying in the Spirit and you've got the gift of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, then the devil ought not whip you all the time. Amen? You ought not be walking around all the time with your head down, acting like the devil's defeating you, whining all the time. You ought to have a strength to overcome that other people don't have. Don't talk to me about the Holy Spirit if you pout all the time. If you walk around defeated all the time. Because when you build yourself up in the most holy faith, you'll be able to take the fight to the enemy and you'll have the confidence to walk around. Doesn't mean you won't have bad days. I have bad days. You have bad days. Everybody has bad days. But I'm talking about a consistent pattern of moping. It's not a product of a spirit-filled life. Because you're supposed to have joy. You're supposed to have spiritual wisdom and understanding, and you're supposed to have the strength to overcome. And when you can't stand, the Bible says, he'll stand for you. If you don't have the strength, he's the strength. If you're not righteous, he's his righteousness through you. The Lord will do it through you if you yield your flesh and allow the Spirit to do his thing. The Holy Spirit gives us strength. It builds us up in the most holy of faith. Sometimes people quote verse 4 to condemn tongues as a selfish gift. Oh, you just speak in tongues and you think you're bad. You think you're better than me. That's just not true. I'm building myself up because I'm weak without him. I'm building myself up because I can't go on another day without him. I'm building myself up because I don't even know how I can survive another week without him. I'm building myself up because I'm sick, I'm depressed, I'm hurt. I've lost family members, I've lost friends. I don't know how I can press on another day. I need to be built up, and the only way I know to do it is to speak to the King in his language. It's the only way I know to do it. You need his strength. Ephesians 3:16. Paul prayed for his friends. He says that they may be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Man, I don't know who's rocking those verses. I think it's Toby. You're killing it back there. Awesome. Because I'm jumping around. That they be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. How many of you need some strength? How many of you ever, I know this is going to sound weird, how many of you ever like talk to yourself? You know, I do that a lot. I do a lot of weird stuff, like autism spectrum weird. One of the things I do when I get real excited, I do this with my hands. I've always done it, haven't I, Mom? Since I was a kid when I'd play football, I would do this before I tackle somebody, and everybody would be making fun of me, and I didn't even know I did it for years. And now, then when I started coaching, if I called in a play from the sidelines, I'd do this, Chad. It's just a weird thing. My boys make fun of me about it all the time. They say, and Kelly will go, stop doing the hand thing. Stop doing the hand thing. We're in public. Stop doing the hand thing. You know, it's like Perry with his neck, you know. And so I do this thing with my hands. But sometimes, man, I really, like, start speaking to myself, man, and just trying to build myself up. I learned that from Joel Osteen, man. You know, you wake up every day and you start speaking faith, man, and you start speaking yourself and you start claiming God's promises over your life. I don't care whether you agree with him or not. It's worked out pretty well for him. I start doing that, man. I start building myself up. Or if you're going into a fight, some of you have been in physical, real fights, not just warfare fights. And, man, when you're going into a fight, you gotta tell yourself, I'm about to whip this guy, man. When you go to fight the devil, I'm about to whip this guy. You gotta amp yourself, gas yourself up, as we used to say. And that's what the Spirit does. It gasses you up, man. It gives you the confidence to go in back into that ring, back into that field, and do what God has called you to do for Christ. You need it, man. You need it, friend. You need it. You need it. This gift stirs up the prophetic gift in the atmosphere. Verse 5 in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. But even more that you prophesied. Later, Paul would say that 5 understood words are better than 10,000 in tongues, when those tongues cannot clearly be interpreted. But wouldn't it be awesome if we would pray 10,000 words privately before we would speak publicly? I'm telling you, when you have an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus, to introduce someone to the King, you better be clear. But I'm telling you, to be clear and to be bold and to be powerful, you need the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And I believe that private kingdom language brings an anointing from the King that'll help you do what God's called you to do. Finally, and I close with this, this gift brings about a new dimension of worship. Tongues can also be a form of worship. Now, we allow that in this church, and I'm so thankful for that, man, that we allow the Spirit to move. I love to hear, of course, Brian and Angie, and how awesome that last song was. We're going to get back into that in just a moment as we minister to you. Wasn't that powerful? They wrote that song. It's incredible. But I love to hear Lester and Holly also. They'll sing in the Spirit. It's the most beautiful sounding thing you've ever heard in your life. It's not out of order. It's beautiful. We've had that released here. People have the freedom to pray here as long as they don't distract from the gospel message being preached. You know, that has been fought for here, and I'm so thankful. We don't ever want to lose that freedom. Because when you walk back into a stale, dead religious place, man, it just feels like you just entered into a casket. I mean, when I try to preach at those places, man, I really have to press in. And that's when I really need the Holy Ghost, just to survive it. Because, man, the freedom that Christ brings is necessary for the war. It's necessary for the battle, and you need it. It's a form of worship. In Acts chapter 10, verse 46, it says, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. On the day of Pentecost, there was a miracle of speaking, but there was a miracle of understanding. The apostles spoke in tongues, and many dialects were understood. The power of Pentecost came down. And how people feel like that same power is not available today is beyond me. The wind still blows. The Spirit still moves. God is still King. He's on His throne. Jesus lives to make intercession for you. And there is a language, a wind, an utterance that you can have if you ask God for it. So how do we then release this gift to you tonight? I want to say a few things and then we're going to get back into worship. First, it is a language. Okay? It is a language. It's not Babel. It is a language. It is the King's language. Not only that, it's a gift. But in prayer, it's a choice. In prayer, it's a choice. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do it. And you don't need to feel less than. Listen, I'm not guilting you. I'm not manipulating you. It's a gift, but in prayer, it's a choice. It's an act of your will. You are not going to get anything from God you do not want. You are not going to get anything that you are afraid of or that you don't want. When has God, again, I'll ask this again, ever forced anything on you? You got to receive from Him His free gifts. Why would Paul give instructions, detailed instructions, if it's uncontrollable? If it just comes on you and you can't control it? Because the reality is you can control it. If someone can't control it, then it's not the Holy Spirit. It's a devil out from under authority. There is a difference between tongues and demons. I know some of you raised like me are worried that if you walk in this, that you're going to somehow inherit a demon. That's just not true. God's not going to give you a demon if you sincerely seek Him, His face, and His gifts. Luke chapter 11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent, a demon, instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So God's not up there going, He wants the Holy Spirit, giving him a demon. He's not going to do that. He's going to answer you. He's going to anoint you. He's going to empower you. He's going to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory, spiritual wisdom and understanding, the ability to fight, and a new dimension of worship. God's going to do it. So how do I receive this gift? You've got to get alone with God, and you've got to give Him your tongue. You've got to relinquish it. Now, for most people, it doesn't happen at an altar. It doesn't mean it can't happen at an altar. I've seen it happen at an altar many times. That's kind of what we do, particularly when we travel. But for most people, particularly in this body, it happens when they seek God on their own, at home, in their automobile. When it happened to me, I'll be honest with you, I'd been touched by the Holy Spirit, and I understood warfare. I was young, and I'd been through the transition with our church, and I was like, I wanted everything that the Holy Spirit had to offer me except tongues. How many of you like that? I'll take the fighting the devils. I'll take cleaning up. Just don't give me the tongues, because I still want to be able to like get down with everybody. And so that's kind of where I was. Like, you know, I can remember when Brother Parsley came here. I was in high school, and me and my youth pastor at the time, we ran and hid because we didn't want what everybody else was getting. Like, we were scared because we had never seen anything like that before. So when did I receive it? I'd prayed. I'd sought God. I'd stained my basement carpet with tears. I'd come back to the Lord at 23, which was, man, that's 14 years ago. And so I think Pastor Ron had me preach. I got right with God in June, and he had me preach in October because I think he was afraid I'd like fall off the wagon or something if he didn't get me up preaching really quick. He's never admitted that, but I'm thinking he was like, I better get him up quick before he goes back to what he used to be, you know. And so that night, I was nervous as a wreck to preach my first message. I was prepared as best I could be with very little education. All I had really was a passion and knowledge of a few verses and an anointing from God. And so I thought, well, it's a Sunday night. Nobody will be there. Man, the place was packed. And everybody I'd ever hung with and sinned with was there. And I was like, oh, my Lord Jesus, this just got double real, you know. It's about to get real, real. I mean, balcony was full. Everything was crazy. And then I just let go of my tongue. I didn't do it in the front of a microphone, but I just said, Lord Jesus, you better step in and help me. And so I just started praying in the Spirit over there by myself. And then I announced it when I got up to make sure everybody knew I was weird. I didn't even mean to announce it. It's the first thing I said. I just got my prayer language, you know. Half my buddies were like, what's that? You know. But the Holy Spirit touched me that night. And so I've never preached without the gift. I've never preached without that gift. And I'm thankful to my Father for it. I'm not ashamed of it. Thankful for it. I don't know. I probably wouldn't be here without it. And as your pastor, I just want you to have it. I want you to have it. Because it sure has helped my family and changed our family for the better. The Holy Spirit will touch you, man. It'll change your life. Religion will fail you. People will fail you. Denominationalism will fail you. Ritualism will fail you. Legalism will fail you. But love never fails. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will help carry you till the perfect one, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, comes back for his bride and his church. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? And Brian's going to lead us into worship. And we're going to get back into the flow of the Spirit. It's 7:52. We have a few minutes tonight. So here's what I want to do. This is all going to be done with grace. I want to appeal to you, first of all, if you're listening, you've got to release your tongue. You've got to seek God and just ask God to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ask God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and give you the gift of tongues. And you just start praying, release your tongue, and allow God to pray through you in your secret place, in your car, whatever you need to do. Or if you're in this place tonight and you love Jesus with all your heart, but you've never spoken tongues, you think it's weird, it wasn't how you were raised, but you think maybe that there's more for you, I want you to just get in a place right now spiritually where you say, Lord, I want more of you. Lord, I want all of you. And I want you to release your intellectualism, your legalism, your denominationalism, and just say, Lord, I want everything you have for me. Fill me up. Get into that place of intimacy right now as we lead you. And what I'm going to do is when you stand in just a moment, if you can stay and pray in the Spirit in agreement for other people to receive it, I want you to stay with us till the end. But if you have to leave, you're free to leave, because we're going to do some business over here in the corner in just a minute. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to believe that God will give it to you, if not tonight, in your prayer closet at home. But we believe God wants to do it in a powerful, powerful way. So I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet, and I want to pray and start this process of prayer. Since we're closing out this series of prayer, can we all start praying to our Father right now? If you have a gift, you go ahead and release it. If you need to magnify God, you go ahead and magnify God. Just go ahead and pray in the Spirit if you have it. If you don't know how, we're going to lay hands on you. You're going to get it in a minute. But if you have it, go ahead and start praying in it right now. Soak the atmosphere. Hallelujah. If you don't know Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, just confess Him as Savior. Say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, use me for Your glory. That starts your relationship with Jesus, that you've been born again. Now God's going to give you a language. God's going to give you a language right now. Hallelujah. 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 My Father and I are going to make our way over here to my right and your left. Some of you may want to come to the altar and be alone and seek God for yourself. Some of you may want us to agree with you. Whatever you need from God, we're here for you. You do business with God. And just say, Lord, everybody say, Lord, I receive all that you have for me. The baptism and the gifts that go with it. In Jesus' name, amen. As we worship you, come if you need this gift.
Thanks for joining us today for Pastor Ronnie's message. Connect with us at abbashouse.com or ronniephillips.org. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. If it has, please subscribe to our podcast. You can invest in helping others live free and fully alive by giving at abbashouse.com/give. Thanks for listening.